Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, baseball isn't boring because pitcher versus hitter. And some hitters are tougher for some pitchers to get out, and some hitters are easier for pitchers to get out. And nobody knows that how it can vary this wildly more than Rich Hill, who is in his car driving to go skiing. So what's going on, Rich?
How you doing, Rob? I'm personally not skiing. No skiing for me. Bryce is our son is snowboarding, actually. So I had to, Going back to pick him up at the mountain. School night tonight, Sunday. I don't know if we use that for reference on podcasts, but he's got school tomorrow, so we got to go get him off, peel him off the mountain.
Well, here's the thing, Rich. Like in 2 weeks or whatever it is, you're gonna be in probably what in Bradenton, yeah, and you're not yeah. these looking back at driving through the wilds and the snow and to pick up your son snowboarding. It's going to seem like a foreign concept because baseball season's close, man. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're here. Looking forward to it to get the spikes on, listen to the cleats, hit the pavement, and then, cut the grass with the cleats.
Are you one of these guys who wears just cleats around before he gets to spring training?
No, I throw them right out of the box.
Ooh.
Give me the blisters, no pun intended. Side note, the companies make such good cleats now. They're basically broken in. I'm out here, Leominster Map. I feel an urge to make a chair or something with the, is this furniture making country? I grew up hearing that Leominster and Winchendon? Where's Winchendon? It's out here in Leominster. Thank God there's navigation. I'll tell you that much.
Well,
I would be able to get the driveway.
Listen, all the great podcasts are made in furniture building country. So I'm gonna let's get right to it. So this is the thing is that I wanted to talk to you with this in mind, with the art of pitching to hitters in mind. Who is the toughest guy to get out? Who are the best hitters? And I'm gonna go by your numbers. And you ready? This will be like a fun little quiz for you, Rich. First of all, do you know who you have faced the most of any player? He still plays.
You know what? I don't know. I really don't.
Manuel Margot.
Yeah, all those years I'm losing my mind. With the Padres. A lot of at bats because he was at the top of the order. So yeah.
Great
competitor, by the way.
Yeah. Really so. Is. When you face a guy 33 times, like, so this is a good jumping off point. When you face a guy like Margot for 33 times, by the time you get into the 20s, Do you have a pretty good idea what he's looking for from you? Vice versa? Like, how does that work when you face a guy that many times in the major leagues?
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. Both sides, you get a really good read for each other and understand, over the history that here's what he's going to do to get me out, and here's what I'm going to do to combat that, or here's what he's going to do to, either jump on. What you can do early. And so, that for me, for example, I know that a lot of hitters are trying not to see the breaking ball. So they want to get into counts where, they can leverage on hitting the fastball. And that's something that, I think Manny did really well. And understanding that, trying to combat that. I remember in the days, pitching against them with San Diego, and also with Tampa, trying to start him off with early breaking balls and late fastballs, later in the count. But, again, when you face a guy, multiple times, the creativity has to really come into play, I believe, a lot. And one guy that I did face a lot, live batting practices, actually, which not a lot of people know, is TK Hernandez. Who is like 11 for 12 off of me with 15 home runs. So
wow.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I know I was gonna say facing him and then going to face him when we were at Tampa and he was with Boston a couple of years ago. I threw him back to back at bats, change ups, and he was completely like, what in the heck was that? He was waiting for a ball, but again, it goes to the point that he hits left handers really well. He hits breaking balls really well. And having other kinds of, tools in the tool bag to break out and be creative with them is extremely valuable.
Well, that's the thing, is that you almost have to invent new pitches by the time you face a guy that much. So, so I'm going to go to the other end of the spectrum and see if you remember. You faced maybe what people think is the best hitter in baseball one time, Mike Trout, one time.
Yeah.
And you struck him out.
Yep.
Do you remember this at bat?
No, I remember. Yeah. Backdoor cutter. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Set him up, got him swinging at a fastball up and away as well. So, I remember, a brief moment in time that I was a Anaheim Angel and wore the uniform and played with Mike, actually got to see a walk-off home run from him, off of a left-handed reliever that was a slider that he threw that was almost hit him in the front foot. And his ability to hit balls that are coming down on top of his feet are obviously the best in the game, in my opinion, especially from, left-handed, pitchers. So, you keep little tabs on guys as you're going through and you're watching the game. And that was one thing that, going back to when, my rookie year and second year in the league, sitting next to a guy who was the best in the game and probably the best of all time to do it, Greg Maddux, who would just say, just watch the game. And, I guess I somewhat understood it when I was younger, but I didn't really grasp the concept of watching game, until I got older, because, you really are taking notes and you're picking up on every little thing that is going on that the hitters are doing. And if you do that, you're just increasing your chances for success.
When you faced, you had observed Trout, did you face him after that, or was it, had you had faced him before that?
No, I hadn't faced him before. I faced him after that.
So you remembered like being, watching him as your teammate and then seeing, okay, this is, if I do face him.
Yeah, 100%. I clearly remember it. I was like, wow, that is absolutely amazing that he was able to do that. How the heck did he, how was he able to, scoop that ball off the ground and hit it out for a home run? Obviously extremely strong.
You've also only faced Ohtani a couple times. So, You know, and again, yeah. I'm just picking like a couple of the best hitters in baseball right now. And, you know, it's, I think that probably guys that you haven't faced a whole bunch, it's the same thing that, you know, the scouting report is don't let it get too deep because you're going to get these big breaking balls. So do you remember when you go up against Otani, like how, what the feeling is there, what the scouting report is there, or you know, because that's a unique guy. So he's a unique guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah. He's extremely unique. I mean, he's probably the best player in baseball, in my opinion, because there isn't anybody else that you can match him up against that can do what he can do on the mound and then step into the batter's box. And the only guy that, I mean, I don't know, it would have been interesting to see if he could have done it, is Carlos Zambrano. You know, he could, in my opinion, switch hitter, you know, unbelievable power from both sides of the plate. And, who knows? I don't know. Maybe, you know, this day and age with the DH, he might have been able to do the two-way thing. But, with Shohei, I mean, his ability to put the bat on the ball is, you know, it's up there in that top echelon of the 5% of hitters in the league that have that feel for where their barrel is in the zone. So, I think the biggest thing, you know, that I noticed is that the drop down breaking ball for him actually is not a huge weapon, because over in Japan, you know, that's something that a lot of left-handers do. And he's been able to see that quite a bit. So the element of surprise for him when I do that isn't really there. Mm. So, you know, with a guy like that, it's almost, again, it goes back to, you can tell when a guy is, you know, sitting breaking ball, or if he's going to be, you know, geared up and ready for that fastball as well. But being able to determine that and distinguish when that's going to happen is extremely important from the pitcher's side. And that's something for, you know, everybody to understand, whether it's in the big leagues or, you know, guys in college or even kids, you know, that are coming up in high school and in Babe Ruth. Because it does matter, you know, as you're getting older, and the ability to be able to read swings and be more proficient reading swings, and also having the understanding of what the hitter is trying to do and what their approach is against you as a pitcher is going to be able to, the faster you can identify that, the quicker, you can make adjustments, and the quicker the adjustments, the, you know, you're swinging the pendulum, a little bit more in your favor for success.
So when you would talk, yeah. You had talked about watching and telling everyone you'd really watch. So let's take, you know, the day before your start, you're sitting in the dugout, you know, you're facing this lineup. You talk about the hitters' reactions to certain pitches. And I know that it's a little tough because, you know, like Nathan Eovaldi throwing isn't going to be the same as you throwing. But how important is that just watching?
Well, it's extremely important. And there are some things that Nate does that I'll watch and, you know, take kind of note of and say, okay, well, I'll put that in, you know, just depending upon how a guy swings at a fastball, if he quick pitches, you know, is his foot down in time? You know, the ability to be able to cut the ball inside on left-handers might, you know, be the equivalent to a drop down fastball for me in on lefties. So there are little things that guys do, that could benefit, even though the stuff might be different. Right. But the approach is definitely similar, in ways if that makes sense. I don't know if that,
no, it does. And just tell me if you have to break, off the lead Bryce in the door there. So, just let me know.
I'm actually, I was trying to find a parking space.
Okay. All right.
You can hear the bells.
so
go ahead.
No, go. What are you going to say?
No, I was going to say that the thing is that you categorize the hitters. So you have hitters. So you have your 1-2 hitter and your 8-9 hole hitter. Things changed a little bit, not too long ago though, because of the baseball. Because now you had the 9-hole hitter hitting 25 homers, and you had the 1-hole, you know, the guy in the leadoff spot hitting 25 homers, and nobody, you know, it was kind of like, okay, now everybody's a power hitter. All right. So I think that's going to change, hopefully, depending upon what kind of Super Bowl they use this year for Major League Baseball. But I hope it changes back to, you know, your 1 and 2 guys and your 8 and 9 guys are going to be, you know, speed and contact, be able to move the runners, move the guys on base around and put together good at bats where they're competitive. And it's just not these high strikeout numbers and, you know, and everybody's trying to hit a home run, especially with the rule changes and, you know, the shot clock and all that stuff. So, but my point is that you would categorize hitters. You'd have your 1 and 2 and your 8 and 9 guys kind of grouped together. And then you'd have your 3, 4, and then you'd have 5 and 6. And depending upon what hitter you see as a pitcher, you put those guys in those groups. So it's not necessarily like, hey, you know, David Eckstein, who I always thought was an incredible contact hitter and a very difficult guy to get out. This is, I believe he was the 2006 World Series MVP.
Right.
Anybody who's playing at home. But, you know, he was an extremely good, contact, bat to ball, understood what it meant to get 3 more pitches out of the pitcher. So when you have those guys that are in the box, and if they can make you throw 3 more pitches, you know, you turn that at bat from 3 pitches to 6, and now all of a sudden that extra, you know, that those extra pitches add up and get the pitcher out of the game quicker. But anyway, those are the guys that give you the headaches. It's not so much always the big power guys and the home run guys. You know, and then you have your elite of the elite, like Mike Trout, who, you know, can put the bat on the ball and also put the ball out of the ballpark. Aaron Judge, for example, this past season was, I thought, did a great job of making adjustments, made great adjustments over the course of the last couple of years, in his development on hitting breaking balls. I just think that, and those are things that you pick up as you're watching the game. You start watching even highlights. You say, wow, he just hit that breaking ball, you know, backdoor breaking ball from a lefty, and he took it and he hit it out over right center field wall, which you would never see, you know, probably 3 or 4 years ago. But those are all like little things that you pick up as the game is going on, and it does, you know, it sets in, and your recall as a pitcher, whether it's a reliever or a starter, has to be, you know, that's what's helped me stay around. Part of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who right now, if you said, okay, this is the guy that you're confident about getting anybody out, because that's what major league pitchers do. But right now in the game that's being played, who is the guy you're saying, oh man, I really wish this guy wasn't up right now? Who is the toughest guy, like, for you? Because not necessarily maybe even the best hitter, right? But the guy for you, like, there's like, I know that this guy is mine, is going to work with me. Who is it?
Yeah, Louis Arise. Louis Arise. Yeah, unbelievable. Probably, now I know this is, but the best hitter I've ever seen. I was fortunate enough to play with him in 2020. And I just immediately noticed this guy's competitiveness, his, you know, give a crap, his, you know, level to be able to crank it up when the game started. Played through some, you know, injuries, was able to, now I'm just saying, if this is, in my opinion, what makes a complete major league player and why this guy is going to be very successful is because he cares. But also with that, his aptitude of learning is incredible, but his gift is basketball skill. You know, I haven't seen him get beat by a fastball, you know, 100 and whatever, who cares. He can get the bat through the zone. The bat stays in the zone a long time, and he has extremely quick hands and reflexes. So, you know, when I think about guys that have the ability to, you know, change a game and or keep the inning going, it's not that he's going to, you know, he's not a big home run guy, but okay, he can put the ball in play. You know, he's going to go that left center side of the field. He absolutely wears out, and he has the speed to be able to get a double, you know, on a short ball hit into left center field. And he runs the bases. Well, anyway, so I just think, I can't speak enough about him. I think he's probably, the most underrated, one of the most underrated players in the game.
Well, I mean, you've faced a lot of guys, and when you say this is the best hitter that I've ever seen, I mean, you articulated it because this is what makes the best. It's not just a guy who's going to hit the ball out. It's not just a guy who's going to make contact. It also is a guy who's going to like have the right attitude, the right approach, paying attention, all of that. And I guess, you're fortunate because you got to play with him. So you got him see that way, but you see him from the other hands, you get the scouting reports and everything. So I'll take your word for it. That's a good one though. That's a good one. I was not expecting that.
He just shocked that he got traded to Miami, but you know, Miami's win. And I'm sure, you know, Minnesota got a great pitcher in return, but anyway, those guys are, you know, I never got a chance to get to watch Tony Gwynn, but never got to obviously play with him. But that type of ability is what Louis has. And, you know, it's just something that when you see it, it's kind of like the crack of the ball off the bat when you hear a little bit of a different sound. When you see this guy work and you see his ability, and his, you know, it's the showing up and wanting to get better every single day too. That is what now I'm not saying guys don't have that. I'm just saying that he is that talented and he still has that drive. Mm. So when you have that and you have the talent and you have the drive, now you have, a long-term player, in my opinion. You have a guy that's going to be around for another, you know, 10 years, and we could be talking about him, you know, I don't know, possibly pushing the 3,000 hit mark. I don't know where he is, you know, whatever. But my point is that his drive for the game is extremely high. Another guy that, you know, is in my opinion, a great bat to ball guy is Jeff McNeil. You know, and that again, these aren't big power hitters. Yes, when the power hitters come up and
but guys who you're like thinking the game's on the line, these are the guys I don't want to face, right?
Yeah, because I mean, look, they're the ones that are gonna, they're not looking to do damage. They're looking to put the ball in play, and they're not look, you know, and when you have second and third late in the game and you're up by one, I mean, that guy on second base is a go ahead run and extremely valuable, and you know, again, difficult to. It's the ultimate cat and mouse game when you face these guys, because, you know, they're looking just to do enough to get on base. And then, you know, you're looking to do just enough to get them out. You know, without any damage being done as far as the run scored. So, you know, and putting them in counts that, yeah, there's not really too many counts where these guys feel uncomfortable, because they're comfortable in an 0-2 count. They're comfortable in a, you know, 3-2 count. So where is, you know, how do you, you know, make them kind of, you got to dust them off the plate. You know, you got to be extra creative. And sometimes, you know, in the aspect of having the understanding where guys know that you're going to be creative, being just consistent is enough, right? So just having that little bit of doubt or that little bit of thought in the back of your head that something might be coming and it never does.
Well, do you know, so, you know the two guys who have the most hits off you?
I don't.
They're pretty good. They're pretty, pretty good. Two Hall of Famers, two future Hall of Famers.
All right. Trying to think, still playing or no?
One of them just retired and the other is still playing.
Buster Posey.
Buster Posey, 11 for 22 and also 11 for 22.
He's retired, huh?
No, retired. This one's active. Buster Posey.
Nice job, Rich. I'm trying to think.
First baseman.
Miguel Cabrera?
No, that's a good guess. So he's 8 for 19. He's right. He's next up on the list. Paul Goldschmidt.
I don't know.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, all right.
two pretty good ones, though. And by the way, okay, Here's the guy that you absolutely own. Absolutely own. And I know this as a really nice guy. Really nice guy. But you have so there's some guys, you know, don't match up against some pitchers, and this guy doesn't. He played for San Diego for a long time.
Okay.
Used to play for Tampa before
that. Oh. Margot, Manny?
No. Good guess though.
Yeah.
Will Myers.
Will,
he's 3-for-23 with 12 strikeouts against you.
Yeah. You didn't like the curveball. I don't know. I know some of the other guys. I think Barry Bonds was able to face him a couple times, which was, you know, that was fun. Ken Griffey Jr. So,
and Mike Cameron, 4 home runs against you.
Yeah. Wow. Did not know that. Didn't know that at all.
But wow. You know, but listen, I mean, it's there's a lot of guys here. A lot of guys here who do not have good numbers. So, and that comes back to what you talked about the whole package, about having the pitches where you can change up the scouting report, change up the approach, and having the attention span and having the ability to actually care enough to have the attention span, all of that. I mean, there it is. It's all there. So
yeah. And again, at the end of the day, it all comes, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like beating a dead horse, but it's the intensity and the attitude and the mindset that you go out there with to pitch with. And that goes for the hitters as well. Guys that are just happy to be there and, you know, think that playing in the big leagues or playing at whatever level you're playing at, that, you know, you've arrived, you have not arrived. So the guys that, you know, and honestly, the guys that have that kind of mindset, that continue to keep pushing and keep working and putting in the time and the effort, they're Hall of Famers. They stick around, they play a long time, and they, you know, have good results too. So.
You had mentioned one thing real quick before I let you go and pick up your tired son from snowboarding. You had mentioned the difference in the baseball, so which is obviously part of this whole equation. How different was the baseball from 2021 to 2022, and do you expect it to be different in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect it to be different. We used 3 different baseballs last year, so. You know, it always keeps it fresh, keeps it fun, keeps you guessing. You never know. But you know, hey, look, it's just the player's career. It's not a big deal. it's unbelievable. You know, make one consistent effing baseball. I don't care. It doesn't, it's just like, you know, I don't care if it's a ping pong ball, or a golf ball, a Super Bowl, or, you know, whatever. Just make it consistent, keep it consistent for the entire year. And let the players know. How about that? Hey, guys, we're going to change the ball this year. We're going to use a little bit softer ball. We're going to use a harder ball. We're going to use a disco ball. We're going to change it up, and we're going to try to see what happens. I just think it's, you know, it's already come out. Somebody else did another report this year that said that the balls were different. And Major League Baseball apparently had said that, yeah, they were. But I just don't see why. You know, a hockey puck is a hockey puck. A football is a football. A basketball is a basketball. A baseball could be anything.
Could you tell?
Why do we do this?
Could you tell us?
Oh, yeah. I know why they can't make the ball consistent, because they don't have a machine that can consistently, they have to invert the last stitch on the baseball. So it has to be done by a human being, because they haven't been able to, you know, make a machine that can do that. But my biggest thing is that, you know, look, Major League Baseball owns the company that makes.
Yeah, Rawlings. Right. Yeah, Rawlings.
Is there a conflict of interest there? I don't know. It's like being a general contractor and you're on the board at your town for zoning and who can build what. A little bit of a discrepancy there, I think. I don't know if you can be totally unbiased, but you know, that's how I feel. I joke around.
It's your players'
careers.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was going to say. That you said it very well. Like, this is everyone's judged on results, and in your results of your career. Yeah. And you're right about the Rawlings thing. I mean, I remember when that happened, it was like 2017-ish or something like that. It was the most, Rich, it was the most underreported story I've seen ever. Like, where...
Well,
like,
of course, because they own the company. They don't want to... They squash everything.
Right. Well, what happened was it came right after all this, like, this these reports that they commissioned all these places. And... Yeah. And then, okay, well, you commissioned all these places to do reports, and now you bought the company. So,
yeah.
But,
the other thing, and from a pitcher's standpoint, you know, I don't, coming in the dugout or sitting in the dugout and watching hitters throttle a baseball and seeing it getting caught before the warning track, I don't enjoy that either. Like, I don't enjoy guys getting, you know, screwed around with on the hitter side whatsoever. So, this isn't just like, all right, well, we're giving up home runs that are getting flipped out front foot, like on a changeup, and guys are, you know, getting fooled on it and hitting it off the end of the bat and it's going out. That's one thing. But when guys actually hit a ball and they're not getting credit for what they, you know, basically put into the ball, a really good swing and, you know, whatever, if we want to get in a launch angle and exit velo and all that crap, like that, it's proof that, you know, something is going on and it's not right on both ends of the game. And it's unfortunate because it is. At the end of the day, it comes down to dollars and cents for the players and for the organizations and for wins and losses. In the baseball, when you can control the baseball, hey, look, I don't know. I don't know. seems to me like that has, it's not good.
No, with the biggest, I had talked to the guys, I remember talking to guys about the slider last year, like how a lot of guys are going with a certain slider because the seams were different. Like, when you noticed the ball last year, was it the seams that were the biggest thing?
Well,
that
we could go and get a dozen baseballs, brand new, fresh, and I could we'll find something wrong with every ball. Every ball is different. Every ball is different because it's hand stitched. I mean, if you stitch a ball, if I stitch a ball, if you know, Alex Cora stitches a ball, if, you know, Nate Evaldi stitches a ball, we're all going to have different results, right?
Mm.
We're not as consistent as a machine. And that's just the way it is. And I mean, I don't know. I just think ever since, you know, the balls have been getting, messed with as far as trying to, and it's proof. The home runs were up when they did it in AAA. The home runs were up almost, I don't know. It was a crazy amount of home runs. They had hit more home runs in the first half of the season than they did for an entire season the year before. And they used those baseballs in AAA before they did, or maybe during the time or whatever, before they brought them to the big league. So if we go back and we just see the numbers say everything. But, you know, I think there's a lot of issues with it. And I just, you know, like, if they want to get something, a consistent product on the field, just make a consistent ball.
Yeah. Well, at least it's on the radar. So now we can reconvene. We can reconvene in spring training and see what's going on. So,
But I'm excited. I'll tell you what, I'm excited for the shifting. Yeah. I'm excited for the, clock. Why not? I'm excited for, the guys to be able to move we're talking about hitters today. So it's, you know, getting the bat on the ball and moving the ball around the ballpark and creating more action. We'll see. Let's see how it works. I mean, I don't know. I got to find out how much one of those clocks costs though, because I could be taking my own bat to it at some point.
You're going to do an Ortiz to like he did to the phone in Baltimore. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody, he's not coming out of the game.
No, that's right. All right. Well, hey, listen, thanks. Take care of your son. We'll touch base before you head down south. Good times.
All right, Rob. All right. Yeah. I'll see you down there.